It's a Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The American Allergy and Asthma Foundations rank Pittsburgh as the fourth most challenging place to live with asthma. We still struggle in this city with pollution and tiny fragments from that pollution generated from the burning of fossil fuels called particulates. They still pose health problems for those with asthma, a chronic lung disease inflaming and narrowing the airways. It was often suggested that children with asthma remain sedentary. However, studies show physical activity can actually help the condition. Helping children with asthma to better recognize the symptoms and manage their condition is the goal of Camp Huffenpuff. I'm joined now in Studio A by Carol Ann Kuchma, Program Director of Breathe Pennsylvania, the director of the camp. Carol Ann Kuchma, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, and thanks for having us.
What are some of the things that the general public doesn't know or understand about asthma?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems is the overprotective mechanisms that many parents have who have children with asthma. So they feel that their children don't need to be outside playing or should be playing in sports. And what they have to come to understand is that physical activity is very important. And if a child who has asthma learns their triggers and understands their triggers and how to use their medications properly and how to talk to an adult if they're having symptoms, then everything is golden and it's perfectly fine. And they become top stars most of the time in many sports.
Does living in the Pittsburgh area pose special challenges for children with asthma?
It can, because of the pollution problem that you mentioned earlier, but also our terrain. Our geographic area, we're in the Ohio Valley, and we have a lot of deciduous trees, which trigger a lot of asthma. These are trees, pollens that come out in the spring and then the ragweed season in the fall. And it lays there. It lays in the valley until it goes down river and blows out, as opposed to the high plains where the winds just blow it all away. So part of that, and then we have inversions too because of that territory and that geographic area. So kids do have a lot of problems. We have, we just went through a big, hot, humid spell the last couple weeks. And for most of these people, and this includes adults with chronic lung disease and asthma, that was a very difficult breathing time.
Climate change is cited as a reason why we'll see increased amounts of ragweed and, other natural elements that you mentioned that aggravate allergies. Are the incidence of asthma in children on the rise?
I don't know if it's necessarily on the rise. I think the diagnosis is better. If you go back 15, 20 years ago, many children would have symptoms, but it would be put off as a bronchitis or an infectious process. And in actuality, it was consistent, and it was asthma, just wasn't diagnosed.
So there might have been more incidences
then,
which makes sense because the air was worse around here.
Exactly,
then.
Exactly. And I think, if people think back when they were in school and they had childhood friends, some of their childhood friends may have missed a lot of school because they were sick, but nobody really called it asthma.
So what is the goal of your camp, and how did it get started, Camp Huffenpuff?
Well, Camp Huffenpuff will be in its 29th year, and it started in 1985 with a pulmonologist he lives in Pittsburgh, and he works out of Washington Hospital, and he saw a lot of children and a lot of parents that had children with asthma saying that they had no place to go. They were afraid to send their children to a regular standard camp because they weren't sure they would get the right medications. They weren't sure they were going to be watched carefully. And so camp started. And it started on a very small basis. I think the first year they only had maybe 10 children. But here we are 29 years later. Many different medications have evolved over the years. So medication management is very, very good as it was as opposed to the past. And our philosophy is that any child that has asthma can come to camp and learn how to manage their asthma and become responsible and to talk to their parents and talk to the doctor and verbalize their symptoms, which a lot of kids feel that they just know they're sick. Now they have to understand what it's really about. And that's, you know, we have many staff that have asthma. Our junior and senior counselors work campers who have asthma. So everybody understands asthma very, very well.
And the name of the camp, Camp Huff and Puff, was there a psychology behind that to, you know, just say to the kids, hey, we're making you own up to what you have?
I have to be honest, I don't really know what the choosing of the name was. I know that there were some other camps at that time in the United States that had that name. We know that many of these kids, because they were very sedentary, you know, just running and playing made them huff and puff. And so that's probably where the name came about. But it's a positive experience. And it's one of the places where you know your child's going to be seen at least twice a day by our medical staff, four times a day or more if they have difficulties. And we keep respiratory therapy students in the cabin, so any nighttime issues, our infirmary runs 24/7, and the staff are with the kids all the time.
What's the main goal of the camp?
The main goal is to let children who have asthma learn about their lungs, learn how they work, learn what asthma is, and know that it doesn't have to be a debilitating illness, nor should it impact their life negatively.
We're talking with Carol Ann Kuchma. She's the director of Camp Huff and Puff and is also program director for Breathe Pennsylvania, joining us here in Studio A. What are some of the methods that you use? You mentioned just making the kids aware of what they have, what it is, how it affects them, and not letting it limit what they are capable
Correct.
Of. But that can be easier said than done, I'm sure, in many cases. So what methods are you using to accomplish your goal?
Well, one of the things we do at the four-day camp is we build in four education sessions. And one of our requirements is that the children who come to camp have completed at least second grade because of reading ability. But we have the education sessions set up by age groups, and each of the instructors will teach various topics based on age. So they have models. They see a set of pig's lungs. They see what they look like when they're healthy. They see what happens if you smoke because they get blackened. We use breathing retraining techniques to help them get through some tough spots if they're short of breath. We use bubble blowing a lot of times for them to visually see how long they can exhale to blow the biggest bubble. And it's that long exhalation, getting the trapped air out that gets trapped because of the asthma, that helps them take the next breath in that's really fresh. So it's that type of techniques that are learned. We teach them relaxation exercises. We teach them about their triggers and signals. And every as we are all different with different color hair and eyes, everybody's triggers are different too, and as everybody's symptoms are different. So you could have two children side by side, and each of them would be triggered a different way. Some may just be exercise, some may be weather-related, some may be allergy-related. And, you know, as symptoms, some may get chest tightness, others may get cough or wheezing. So it varies. But they have to learn and understand what their specific triggers and signals are.
Is the camp staffed by medical professionals?
Yes, yes. We bring in our own physicians. We bring in our own nurses and respiratory therapists and other medical staff. And these people follow the children the whole 4 days, from check-in, to which we do an interview process with the parents, to the time they check out, and there's an interview process there too to see how well the children had done throughout the week. And the nice thing about it is most of the staff get very involved in other activities. We do a team challenge event. We have a ropes challenge course that we do, and they're involved with the cookouts and things like that. So should anything occur, they're there immediately to help. And as I said, many of them also have asthma themselves. So they've learned, you know, they've grown up. They know what it's like to be bothered by the symptoms.
Do you have people that this camp has been in existence for nearly 3 decades now? So do you have people who were who were there as kids, as campers, and then have come back to be counselors?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. We actually have many children who've come back as counselors, and now we've had some of our counselors finish college and now are in medical school, and they're coming back to camp and volunteering as staff. One young lady in particular was a great camper, was a great counselor, and this is her third year back as a medical student. She's at Penn, and this will be her fourth year as a medical student. So, you know, it's very nice to see. And many students or many campers have gone on to become respiratory therapists, EMTs, paramedics. They learn a respect for the medical field, and they learn to talk to doctors and nurses and therapists just like everybody else. You know, they're not up on a high pedestal. They can talk to them like people.
As our knowledge of asthma has increased over the years, have the activities at the camp evolved with, for example, I'm guessing you aren't doing the same things now that you were doing back in 1985.
Not really. We've upped the exercise level on many things. We try to involve as much swimming and pool activities as we can. We do the ropes challenge course, which really builds team building techniques and trust in other individuals. There's a lot more physical activities that we didn't have before. Many of the children, if you go back to the late 80s, were on medicines that really made them hyper. And at the same time,
like also, what?
Theophylline. And theophylline isn't used much today. And these are these are children who would never go to sleep. You know, they would be up all night bouncing off the walls. So we find that everybody gets tired by the end of the day now, and they go to sleep and they get a good night's rest.
Probably good for everybody.
Yeah. But we do have a night call schedule. We have a nurse, a doctor, and a therapist on call all night. And the counselors are taught to make sure they have their sheet of who's on call, where everybody is, and, you know, there's no hesitancy. You bring the child from their cabin up to the infirmary, and we get them checked out.
Do you find that some of the campers, some of the kids, as well as members of their families, the parents perhaps, that this camp sort of reveals certain revelations in terms of what they might learn that they're capable of that they didn't know before, or how to mitigate the effects of their asthma that they weren't aware that they could use, techniques that they could use?
I think that's very true. I think for some of the children, they get a voice, and they get a voice that speaks on behalf of themselves, especially when they go home. If they have a household where maybe a grandparent or somebody smokes, they're not bashful to say, you know, that really triggers my asthma. And so they're confident in that. And they know that they have the expertise of the camp behind them to say that. Many of the children have just gotten so much better at getting involved and not sitting on the sidelines, whether it be physical activities or music or singing or whatever happens at school, that they can get involved. They don't need to sit back.
And are there other techniques that the children learn for lifelong maintenance of their asthma?
Well, they learn about some of the little accessories that some of the asthma medicines use, the inhalers, the chambers and spacers. They learn about timing and sequencing of medicines. They learn that sometimes you don't need to be on medicines all the time. There's an item called a peak flow meter that they can register to see how well they're breathing, and that will help determine, based on their doctor's plan of activity, of what they should add or take away. So there's a lot of things that they may not know about just because they're not exposed to it.
So they learn an awful lot, it sounds like.
They do, but we have fun too, and that's the whole point of camp. Make new friends, and some of these friendships have been lifelong friendships.
Carol Ann Kuchma is the director of Camp Huff and Puff, and she is also program director for Breathe Pennsylvania. Carol Ann Kuchma, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll remember Pirates great Willie Stargell. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.